Hello, everybody. You are listening to Limited Playtime, the board game podcast where we bring you board game reviews in 30 minutes or less.
Or the next episode is free.
I'm Kyle Bolin.
Et moi, je m'appelle Jason Cavallari.
You are showing up way quieter for some reason.
I don't know. Am I showing up louder now?
Yes.
I have to be right on top of the microphone.
Move the pop screen if that makes it easier. There we go. Okay, so it's day two of Gen Con. It is, you're like hunched over.
I have to be really close to the mic.
Well, now it's blowing out, yeah. You'll be fine. Okay, all right, okay. So it's day two. It is Friday of Gen Con 2021. We did our little sort of Gen Con wrap up for day one yesterday. Today is day two. Today we played one game as an official event, and that was Cytosis, a cell biology board game. By Genius Games. I have everything pulled up on my Chrome here.
Genius Games is correct.
Genius Games, yeah. I was going to go over all the stuff, you know. But unfortunately, I'm on a little laptop. So Genius Games, it is designed by John Covew with art by Tomas Bagus. Bagus? John Covew. Wow. I apologize. I have no idea how to pronounce that. So anyway, Cytosis, a cell biology board game, is a worker placement game, in fact. I wasn't exactly sure what kind of game it was going to be, but it was worker placement to try to emulate or, I guess, present the different steps and functions within a cell, like a biological cell, like a cell of your body, right? And so, yeah. The resources in the game were things like mRNA and ATP. And, you know, lipids and
glucose.
Yeah, protein. So those were the cubes and the little cardboard materials that you would try to get. They represented all of those things. And then, on the board, the different sites that you would play a little flasker. Yeah, it was an Erlenmeyer flask, right?
Yeah,
That was your workers that you would put out, and you would put them on the different areas of the board, which represented different areas in or outside of a cell, essentially.
Yeah.
And then they would maybe go through multi-step processes for some of those processes to represent that process biologically, but you would be using your worker placement to kind of work the different resources through the different steps of that, I guess, stages, right, of that process to eventually get to the end, at which point you would maybe play a card for completing that process, and that gives you a bunch of points. In this game, they're considered health, right?
Yeah. Because
health is the points that we use for victory points.
As you get healthier, you get better, closer to winning.
Yeah, and so we tried that out. We were kind of interested in trying out another Genius Games game because Darwin on The Origin of Species was a game we played at Gen Con last year digitally. And that was fun.
Yeah,
and so I wanted to try out more of their, educational games, I guess you could say, for lack of a better word. They're science-based or science-themed. And I think that, we were asked afterwards, do you feel like having knowledge of these scientific principles or this scientific knowledge would make it easier to play the game? No.
No.
But playing the game might make it a little easier to learn the material afterwards because you might have a little bit more familiarity with it and just sort of the overall way that the processes work and everything.
Right, yeah. So, if you had played this game before and then you took a biology class and they're like, oh, ATP, and you know that in the game, ATP is basically the energy that fuels the various processes.
Yeah.
That's the thing you can take away from the game.
A little bit easier to remember that that's the energy that, cells use in order to, go through their processes, right?
Yeah.
We played that, and how'd you feel about it, Jason?
I actually enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a science person, so I, thematically, I was like, okay, whatever, I'll give it a shot. But I thought it was pretty good. I mean, it was easy enough to grasp. I thought I liked the sort of design of the thing, both visually and then how the visual part of it also helped contribute to how the mechanics worked. It was like all this stuff that creates these resources and then they kind of get funneled through the endoplasmic reticulum, through the Golgi apparatus, and wherever else.
It surprised me too. I expected to like it. I'm the one that picked it out, I like science, and so this was something that I was very interested in trying out. But it still surprised me that it looked so good. It was so well designed. It was so tightly designed.
Yeah.
And it also did a better job than I expected of kind of presenting, through mechanics, the actual processes of the cell. It was better than all of my expectations.
Yeah. I mean, just as one example, like, so, I mean, I remember this from biology class, that ATP is, you know, the energy source. So, but I mean, as a game, like, since ATP is basically a resource that you have to pay to do stuff, you're going to need some of it. And there's a couple ways to get it, but one of the ways is basically turning in a glucose cube, mm-hmm. which gets you six...
Gets you a lot more than you could get ATP, otherwise. Yeah, six ATP,
which is way more. And that's literally what happens, like, in your cell. It needs energy. It breaks down glucose.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, so that was what we did this morning. Then we went and did a little more shopping. And, geez, what happened then? Oh, we came back to the room and played Eclipse, right?
Yeah.
Eclipse, Second Dawn for the Galaxy...
A second dawn for the galaxy.
It's the second edition of Eclipse, which is like a big epic space operatic sort of game, kind of in the vein of Twilight Imperium 4th edition, mechanically quite different, I think. It's a little bit more Euro based in mechanics. You know, there's a lot more sort of like number crunching that you need to do in order to make sure that you don't overreach. And we'll probably do a full review of that because it's a very complicated board game. And right now I think we're just kind of like trying to touch on what we've seen and done here at Gen Con and how Gen Con's going in general. But, I think the general consensus coming away from that was it was a very good game.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah. And so we want to go in and do a deeper dive on that. And I don't know. I kind of came away from it just being like, I own the game, obviously, but I mean, like, I'm excited to play it again. You know, I'm excited to play more of it, and there's a lot in there to discover. So, you know,
yeah.
I felt good about that. And Jason and I just came back to the room and played a game that we were signed up to play, but then he had purchased it already. So we just decided to play it in the room, so it would be a little safer. And it's called The Night Cage.
Yeah. So it's a game by The Night Cage.
It's gonna be our the first song we write for our new hair metal band,
right. Called the Dirt Bags.
Night Cage is published by Smirk and Laughter Games, designed by Christopher Ryan Chan, Chris McMahon, and Roswell Saunders. Art by Christopher Ryan Chan.
Yeah. So basically, on its most basic level, it's a tile-laying game. So basically the idea is that you're four prisoners that have somehow ended up in a prison, and the prison is almost completely black, dark. There's no light. The only light you have is from a tiny candle that you carry with you in these tight, cramped passageways. And they only illuminate the area like just around where you are. And as soon as the light disappears, the parts that fall into darkness just go away completely. They disappear into the ether, so that if you go back to that space in the future, it will look completely different. There are some other mechanics too, like there are monsters in the darkness that do various things, and sometimes the floor collapses underneath you. But basically, you have to find you and your three companions. There's four prisoners in there. You have to each find a key, and then all make your way to a gate. At the same time, you all have to be on a gate so that you can escape together.
Coordination.
And you have to do it before the candles run out, which is measured by the tiles. So as the tiles run out, you have less and less time to make it out, basically. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so how did you feel about it?
I really enjoyed it. You know, I wasn't sure. We had a lady give us a little bit of an overview. Dave and I had a lady give us an overview at the demo station yesterday when we saw it. And the way she was describing it, I was just kind of like spacing out. My eyes were glazing over because it didn't make any sense the way she was describing it to me.
Yeah.
Because I don't think she was really going in order as far as how the game works. She was just like, oh, yeah, so when you do this, this happens. And when you do this, this happens. And I was like, okay. But like, what are you trying to do? And, you know, like, and
what's the point?
Yeah. And so, but sitting down and actually playing the game, it's simple, but it's still challenging. And it was fun. And, you know, we've conversed about this privately that, I'm just going through a phase right now. I don't know. Maybe you've always been in this phase, but it's a very monochromatic game. Like it's very
it's all
like
black and white.
All black and white. Very like sketchy looking artwork. It really evokes the very like sort of dark black and white like role playing game. Sort of like, you know, like thin like zine type manuals and stuff from like, you know, the 80s and the early 90s. He's got the special edition, so it came with like little pewter minis that really kind of like evoke that era of gaming. And I've just been in this mood lately where I've just been really attracted to those games. You know, I've been looking at other games that have similar looks, like Escape the Dark Castle, Escape the Dark Sector. There's some games out there called Cave Evil. It's a little bit all on the older side, but I've been like, wow, look at that, you know. We looked at a game called Eschaton. Yeah. And they had another one, Nexus something. Nexus Infernum from Archon Games. Similar sort of art style, and I'm just like, just looking at it makes me happy right now. Even though it's like a dark, you know, like oppressive sort of artwork, it's just comforting because it feels nostalgic in a way
There's something weirdly charming about
I really enjoy that. And then, you know, just the sort of like, you know, lay the tile, get around, make sure that, you know, we don't get cut off from each other when we need to get back together, make sure that we're trying to, you know, avoid the monsters on the board and avoid triggering the monsters in a way where they'll attack our friends, you know, on the board. That was a fun challenge, and I would play that again, you know, like, absolutely. And because I'm looking for games that look like that right now, you know, I'm kind of tempted to go buy a copy, too, just because, like, I just kind of want something that looks like that in my house, and I don't right now, so.
Well, and you could conceivably play it because it's cooperative.
Could play cooperative or single player, sure, yeah. So I really enjoyed it. Surprised me. I enjoyed it more than that. Everything today was a pleasant surprise. We enjoyed everything. Very we played true, yeah. more than we thought we were going to, so. Now, one thing that I did not enjoy more was the crowd for Gen Con. We talked yesterday about how the crowd was better than we expected. It was not as crowded as we expected or as we feared.
Yeah.
And that we felt that everybody had their masks on and that we felt relatively safe yesterday. Today, the crowd was objectively larger.
Yes, but still not as large as it typically is.
No, not as large as it is, you know, like 2019 was, or 2018
right,
even.
Yeah.
Mask use is still extremely high. Like, I think that like 99.99% of people had their mask up and over their nose.
And I have seen a few times people that didn't have them and con workers actually saying, "Hey, put your mask on."
But the population density got to the point where I didn't want to be in any one spot in like the exhibition hall for, you know, more than a few minutes. Right. Like I don't want to do any demos. Like, that's kind of how I feel right now. I don't want to sit down and do long demos because I, you know, who knows. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that said, when we were in the larger hall with we played our morning game with like two ladies and then it was the three of us, you know, aside from those two, we weren't really in close proximity with anybody, even though we were in one of the larger halls. So that still felt relatively safe, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't ever felt like nervous or anxious about it, really.
Yeah. I do a little bit in the exhibition hall.
Do you?
Yeah. Yeah.
I do if I'm forced to like brush up against people.
Yeah.
But that's kind of rare.
Well, brushing up against them isn't going to get you COVID.
No,
right?
I know, it's but all about, it's just sort of what contact is what's making.
Well, that's always kind of been the case in there.
Well, yeah, that's
during
true
during non COVID years too.
Oh God, what did I catch this year?
Yeah, exactly. So I told you I was going to ask you a question. Okay, mm-hmm. It's actually not that complicated of a question.
Oh,
but
okay.
We've been playing all of our personal games in the hotel room with two little camping tables pushed up against each other. And these are the games that we would typically like pile into a bag and cart off to one of the sort of like
open gaming
halls
yeah.
or whatever. And we would play in there in like a massive crowded room with lots of, you know, like extra noise and people walking by and maybe like, you know, asking us what we're playing or asking, you know, like if we have room for another or just chatting with us or whatever. We've had all those experiences happen to us over the years.
Yeah.
So how do you feel like it is playing just privately in a hotel room like this versus that?
You know, there are pluses and minuses to it, I think. I mean, it's fairly comfortable. It's nice to have it sort of quiet and apart from a lot of the craziness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just sort of hang out with your friends and play board games. I do miss something of the atmosphere of being in the larger gaming halls.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the noise, and it might be a little the activity. Sometimes it's kind of funny, like, you know, somebody's playing some really intense game and they pull it off or whatever. And there's like a big cheer.
Yeah,
and it's
that's
like,
true.
Yeah, man, you're like, go for you. It's also like nice because it's like, it's a huge room. It's like cavernous ceilings, big, long, really nice wooden tables.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the sort of furniture and ambiance is pretty nice, but I don't really feel like I'm missing anything by doing what we would normally do just in our hotel room.
Okay. Yeah. So this is okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I've been enjoying having our own little private space like this that isn't being like invaded on, and that, you know, we can talk to each other. We can have a conversation without having to yell at each other across, like, you know, an 8-foot table.
Right, yeah.
You know, with all kinds of extra noise going on. But, yeah, I do kind of miss the, just sort of, like, the people watching. And just sort of, like, you know, if I'm in one of those halls, I'm constantly scanning the crowd looking for, like, what game are they playing? You know, like, what other cool games have I not noticed yet that are right. out there, you know?
Is that something I want to buy?
There's a little sense of discovery in those rooms, you know? And we're missing that out, and that's kind of a bummer. And I hope to get back to that next year. You know, hopefully, you know, the pandemic in some way is a little bit under control, or at least maybe COVID isn't as big of a threat then, you know, yeah. if everybody, you know, if children can be vaccinated and, you know, who knows what's going to happen between Delta and whatever variant we're on next year. hopefully it's just, you know, like maybe like the common cold, right? Like just not quite as dangerous or whatever, but
hopefully.
But for this year, I've been pretty happy with this setup we've got in here with my two janky camping tables that we pushed up next to each other.
Yeah, I mean, they're not the prettiest things, but they're doing the job pretty well, I'd say.
Yeah, troopers.
Yeah.
Better than expected.
Again, yeah.
Gen Con 2021.
Gen Con 2021. Better than expected.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so tomorrow we've got a lot of stuff lined up. We've got 4 events. I don't know that we're going to hit them all just because it seems like a lot. And we typically get a little tired, so I'm imagining yeah. we'll probably skip at least something, but... but we're going to try and get a third episode out tomorrow if we have the energy. If not, maybe we'll just get it out on Sunday. I think that happened to us in 2019.
Oh, yeah, I think it did. Yeah,
it did. But, you know, we'll get it out eventually this weekend. I'm pretty sure that between the Bloodborne podcast and yesterday and today, everybody's got plenty to listen to. So.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. All right, anything else you want to talk about for Gen Con Day 2 2021?
I mean, not another thing I think I can say on there.
Okay, all right, yeah, all right. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you in a day or two.
Okay, later.
Bye.